I'd like for you to open your Bibles with me to the book of John. I'll be speaking this morning from John chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. That's the first chapter of the book of John. I'm going to read a portion of verses 10, 11, 12, and 13. Now here's our subject. What is it to receive Christ? Now my purpose this morning is not just to cry, believe, believe, but I want to tell you what it is to believe. My purpose today is not just to cry, receive Christ, receive Christ. You've been told to receive Christ. You know to receive Christ. But let me ask you this, what is it to receive Christ? Just what does the Scripture mean when it says, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the sons of God? What is it to receive Christ? And that's our subject. Now let's read the Scripture found in John chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. John writes, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him. And the world knew Him not. We're talking about Christ, our Lord. He was in this world, and this world was made by Him. And the world didn't know Him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The world didn't know Him. He came into His own, that is, His own people, the Jews, His own things. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. His own temple, His own sacrifices. But as many, now watch this, as many as received Him, to them gave He power. That word is the right or the privilege, the glorious, blessed privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. Now, here's the question. What is it to receive Christ? But before we take up that matter of our receiving Him, there's another very important matter to discuss, and I think it's the most important matter of all. And that is not my receiving Christ, but Christ receiving me. Not this sinner accepting Him, but Jesus the Lord accepting this sinner. Now, this is scriptural. All the way through the book, through the Word of God, we're told that before sinners receive Christ, Christ receives sinners. Before sinners call on Christ, He calls on them. Before they seek Him, He seeks them. Before they call on Christ, He, by His Spirit, has called upon them. Now that's so. Abraham. God found Abraham down among a people who were idol worshippers, and He called Abraham. And He said, Abraham, get thee out of thy father's house and go to a land that I will show thee. And Abraham heard God and followed God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It said, even Moses, when he prayed, said, Lord, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me thy way. We do love Christ. Peter said to Him, Lord, You know all things. You know that I love You. But John tells us we love Him because He first loved us. Herein is love. Here's the definition of love, the description of love. Not that we love God, but that God loved us and gave His Son to be the sacrifice and mercy seat for our sins. We love Him because He first loved us. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So that's the most important matter to discuss and to consider. It is Christ receiveth sinful men. Sinners do receive Christ, and that's what I'm talking about. We do receive Him, but first of all, He receives us. Who loved whom? He loved us first, and then we loved Him. How does Christ receive sinners? We talk about sinners receiving Christ in the song, Christ receiveth sinful men. Just how does Christ receive sinners? Well, first of all, the Scripture tells us that He received them as a gift from His Father. He said, all that My Father giveth Me shall come to Me, and him that cometh to Me I will in no wise cast out. I came down from heaven not to do Mine own will, but the will of Him that sent Me. This is the will of Him that sent Me, that of all which the Father hath given Me I'll lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. Where did Christ receive His people? The Father gave them to him. And then another answer to that question is this. He purchased them. He bought them. That's right. He paid for them. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Our Lord Jesus Christ bought his people. He said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known of mine, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He purchased us. He redeemed us with his own blood. We're his not only by God's gift, but by his purchase. And then where does Christ receive sinners? He receives them from the Holy Spirit, who calls them to him. That's right. The Holy Spirit calls us. We're the called of Christ Jesus. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. He said, whom he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son. Whom he predestinated, he called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. So when we're talking about receiving Christ, the first thing we must consider and is that Christ receives us. He receives us before we receive him. He seeks us before we seek him. He loved us before we loved him. His was the first love. His was the first seeking. But, now here's what we're saying. His people do come to him. He said, all that my Father giveth me shall come to me. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. There are two marks of a sheep. He's branded on his ear, and he's branded on his foot. He hears the voice of his shepherd. He hears the voice of the master, and he follows the master. They will hear, and they will come. All that my Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. God does seek them, but they seek him. God does call them, but they call him. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. David wrote in the Psalm 110, verse 3, thy people shall be willing. They're thy people, but they shall be willing in the day of thy power. Our Lord told his disciples in Mark 16:15 to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not shall be damned. So they do come. They do come to Christ. They do believe on him. They do receive him. And that's what our text is saying. He was in the world. He made this world, but the world didn't know him. He came into his own, to his own temple and people and ceremonies and law, and to his own, the things that were the types of himself. And they didn't receive him either. But as many as received him, to them gave he the privilege, the right to become the sons of God. Now here's the question. And I want to deal with it as plainly as I can and as simply as I can. I think we need to simplify our message. Paul said, I tremble and I'm greatly concerned about you, talking to the church at Corinth. He said, lest Satan, through his subtlety, as he deceived Eve, should take your minds from the simplicity of Christ. So I'm going to deal with this question as simply as I know how. What is it to receive Christ? What is it to come to Christ? And I'll give you four or five answers. Now, here's the first one. Listen carefully. To receive Christ is to be convinced of the reality of Christ. Now, in Hebrews 11, verse 6, the Scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God, and receiving Christ and coming to Christ and believing on Christ and embracing Christ and laying hold of Christ are the same thing. It's the same thing. To come to Christ, if any man come to God, he must believe that God is. He must believe in the reality of Christ. Christ is not a myth. He's a person. Christ Jesus is not an influence or an idea. He's a person. He must believe that Christ is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Paul said in Romans 10, they can't trust an unknown Christ. They can't trust an unrevealed Christ. A man must have some information, some knowledge, and some understanding of who Christ is. Now listen to Paul in Romans 10. He tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But he says in the next verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? I'm saying that all saving faith is founded upon knowledge. And some understanding. In other words, who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Well, they said he's the carpenter. Some said he is an unlearned man. He didn't go to school. They called him different names, a wine-bibber, a gluttonous man, and so forth. But who is Jesus Christ? He asked his disciples, said, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, well, people out there saying you're a John the Baptist or one of the prophets. But he said, whom do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Whom do you say that Jesus Christ is? I say he's very God of very God. I say he's very God. He's God in human flesh. He is God incarnate. And what did he do? Well, Paul said he came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. He came into the world and was tempted and tried in all points as we are, yet without sin. By his obedience, he made righteous many people. Our Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, obeyed the law of God, was crucified on the cross, was buried and rose again, and ascended back to heaven. Why did he do that? Well, the scripture says, in order that God may be just and justifier, in order that God may be reconciled to sinners, in order that our sins might be put away, in order that by his stripes we may be healed, in order that we might have a perfect righteousness before the law and a perfect holiness before God's justice. That's why he did. Well, where is he now? Is he in the grave in Jerusalem? Where is he now? Is he in some misty place between heaven and hell? Where is he now? The scripture says he's at the right hand of God, where he is our great high priest, where he is our only mediator. So I'm saying that in order for a man to come to Christ or to receive Christ, he must have some understanding of who Jesus Christ is and why he came into this world and what he did and where he is now. You can't trust an unrevealed Christ. Faith must have a fixed object. Coming to someone indicates that there's someone to whom we can come. We must believe in the reality of Christ. Listen to 1 John 5:20. And we know, we understand, that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we're in him, that is, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, and this is the true God, and this is eternal life. You see, my friends, conviction of sin is founded upon a knowledge of the law. Paul said, I wouldn't have known sin had not the law said, thou shalt not covet. Paul said, I didn't understand sin. I didn't understand the nature of it. I didn't understand the depth of it. I didn't understand the exceeding sinfulness of it until the law taught me what sin is. So conviction has got to be based upon understanding of the law. And then repentance is born of a knowledge of my sin. Not a general knowledge of everybody else's sin, but David said, my sin is ever before me against thee, and thee only have I sinned. A man not repent till he in his own eyes becomes an offender, till he becomes a sinner. So knowledge is the basis, understanding is the basis of any act. We act on our understanding. We act on our knowledge. And faith is born of a knowledge of Christ. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. You see, faith is not just some misty, unknown performance of an experience or feeling or an emotion. Faith is based on fact. Who Christ is, what Christ did, why he did it, where he is now. Just like the woman with the issue of blood, she knew her need. She knew no one else could meet that need. She'd spent everything she had, wasted her life savings, was no better. No one could help her. She found out about Christ. She said, if I can get to him and but touch his garment, I shall be made whole. And she knew, she made her way to Christ based on her understanding of her need, her inability, the inability of anyone else to help her, and the ability of Christ to meet that need. And she came to it, and she was made whole. So I'm saying this to you. What is it to receive Christ? It's not just some strange religious emotional experience. It's not just some feeling that makes you feel strange or wonderfully good and so forth. It's knowledge and understanding of the reality of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality of my sin and my need and my inability and his power to do all that he says. Now here's the second thing. What is it to receive Christ? Secondly, to receive Christ is to rest entirely upon the testimony of His Word as infallible and unquestionable. Now, you remember that. That's important. To receive Christ is to rest upon the testimony of His Word as infallible and unquestionable. Now, let me ask you something. And now you think about this. What is our one source of information? Our one source of information and revelation concerning Jesus Christ and salvation. Now, you think about that a moment. Don't just answer right off. What is the one source? His deity? How do we know He's God? His eternal existence? How do we know that He's always lived? His incarnation? You say God became a man? Who told you that? His life and obedience? His death on the cross? His resurrection? His ascension? His mediatorial work? His return? His coming again? Where did you learn these things? There's only one source, and that's the Word of God. That's the only source of information. That's the only source of revelation. And if you have put a question mark on His Word, then you have no foundation for your faith. How do you know God will forgive sin? Well, I just believe He will. Well, who told you that? Well, you know how I know He'll forgive sin? He said it in His Word. How do I know that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? He said it in His Word. That's the only way I can know it. Listen to 1 John 5:10-11. Now, in the preceding verses, he said, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. God cannot lie. Man can lie and will lie and does lie. In fact, all men are liars, but God cannot lie. Now, listen to this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believeth not the record that God hath given of His Son. What is the record? His Word. That's the record. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the record. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and that life's in His Son. Isaiah said, if they speak not according to the Word and according to the prophets, it's because there's no light in them. Now, Satan's policy always has been, is now, always will be, is to put a question mark on the Word of God. If he can make you doubt God's Word, he can shake your foundations, because that is the foundation of your faith. Satan's policy is to put a question mark on the Scripture. He started that in the Garden of Eden. He said to Eve, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the fruit of the garden? She said, well, we can eat any of it except one tree. He said, and if we eat that, we'll die. He said, you'll not die. You'll not die. That's not true. You see, all acts of faith, now listen to this, all acts of faith, all feelings of faith or religion are just supposition, if they're not based on Scripture. Now, that's a fact. To receive Christ is to receive Christ as He's revealed in the Scriptures. Paul said out there on the deck of that ship, the ship was about to go down, and the crew was about to panic, and he told them, he said, sirs, just stay where you are. Don't anybody jump overboard. God said that not a life would be lost, and sirs, I believe God. Now, that's the foundation of faith. And you can't receive Christ or believe Christ or come to Christ except on the basis of one thing, and that's He has set it in His Word. And you better watch these preachers and modernists and liberals today who put a question mark on the Word of God. If it's not all true, none of it's true. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now, that's the fact. Holy men of God spake as we were moved by the Holy Spirit. The Scripture is God-breathed. It's infallible. It's unquestionable. I believe it because God says so. Now, here's the third thing. To receive Christ is to be assured, to be confident that all that I need, all that God requires of me, I'll find in Christ. Now, man's got to be assured of that. He is not coming to Christ unless he's assured that all that he needs, he'll find in Christ. When our Lord preached to the multitude, which he had just fed, 5,000 of them, and they refuted his words, and they rebelled against what he said, and finally walked off, our Lord turned to his disciples, and he said to them, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? And that's my question. If salvation is not in Christ, where is it to be found? If eternal life is not in Christ, where is eternal life to be found? It's not in the law. It's not in the church. It's not in men. It's not in Reformation. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and assure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. A man will not embrace Christ in true saving faith until he's persuaded beyond a shadow of a doubt in his heart that all he needs will be found in Christ. Because if I'm lacking in any one thing, to offend in one point of the law is to be guilty of the whole law. God must receive me as perfect or not at all. God must receive me as complete or not at all. God must receive me as entirely righteous or not at all. And 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. It's all in Christ. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And Colossians 2:9-10 says, in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Abraham believed God, that God was able to perform all that he promised. And it was counted to him for righteousness. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, he is able to keep that which I've committed to him. And again in Hebrews 7:25, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God by him. And John said, now unto him who is able to keep us from falling. I'm hungry. Christ is bread and meat indeed. And all I need. I am thirsty. Christ is the living water. I am weary, and Christ is my only rest. I am condemned by the law, and Christ is my righteousness. I am unclean by nature, birth, and practice. Christ is the fountain open. I am ignorant. Christ is wisdom. Jesus Christ is made to me all I need, all I need. He alone is all my plea. He's all I need. Wisdom, righteousness, and power, holiness forevermore. My redemption full and sure. All I need. Now, a man who finds in Christ all he needs, he'll come. If he finds that pearl of great price, he'll sell all he has and buy that pearl. And that's what I'm saying. To receive Christ is to be convinced, assured beyond a shadow of a doubt, of the reality of Christ. It's to come to him on the basis of his word, believing his word, trusting his word, infallible and unquestionable, inerrant, verbally inspired. God said it. That's sufficient. And it's to find in Christ all I need. All I need. Perfect. I'm complete in him. I need nothing to be added by anything or anyone. Now, fourthly, to receive Christ is to receive him entirely and undivided. Entirely and undivided. There are two words important in our text. Very, very, very important. All of them are important, but they're two specifically that are most important. Now read the text again. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now hear the two words, him, him. And this is where so many people miss it. Will you listen to me a moment? As many as received him, not his things, not even his word or his doctrine. A man can be versed in the doctrine and miss the person. Not as many as receive his ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. There are a lot of people who've been baptized who've never received Christ. It's not to receive his church or his ministers or his laws. It says as many as receive him. Him personally. Christ personally. I receive him as my prophet. To reveal God to me. He that has seen me, he said, has seen my Father. Show us the Father, one of the disciples said. Well, you said you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Have I been so long time with you and you don't know me? He's my prophet. He's my priest to atone for my sin. He's my king to reign over me. To as many as receive him, Jesus Christ, to be prophet, priest, and king, Lord and Savior, master, sovereign, ruler, indwelling Christ, shepherd, brother, friend, husband, all that I need. Him. Bow to a person, not to a doctrine, not a religious experience, not a theology or a denomination. It's to embrace a person. Now watch this. Even to them that believe on his name, whosoever shall call upon the name. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What does a name tell you about a person? Tells you all about him. It tells you all of that. When you call a person's name, you think first of all of his appearance, his personality, his attributes, his characteristics, his reputation, his honesty or dishonesty. The whole person is included in that name. And that's true of Christ. When we think of Christ, you can't separate him from his name. His name indicates who he is. Even the men that believe on his name. There are a lot of people who would like to have the benefits of Christ, but not the person of Christ. But to receive Christ is to receive him. And last of all, it's to receive him freely as the gift of God. He is the gift of God. As I come to Christ, in my hands no price I bring. Simply to the cross of Christ I cling. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no respite know? These for sin could never atone. Christ must save, and Christ alone. I come to him. And I come to him without offering or giving or bringing anything, with no merit of my own. It's all in him. Freely, the gift of God.